Will you bow your heads with me as we begin? Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, every day I stand at this pulpit to speak for you. I cannot do it on my own. I need you here with me. We need you here, Lord, so we invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, that we might understand clearly what you have in your word. Speak to your children now, and we will give you all the glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm waiting for the pictures to appear. Where are they? Here we are on the last day of 2011. Has it been a good year for you? Good days and bad days probably all along the way. But here we are at the verge of a new year, something new heading our way. And just a week ago, many of you probably took place in celebrating the Lord's birth and probably gave presents to each other. And I don't know if that little kid in you burst out when you got that present and you just tore the paper, but you unwrapped that gift. And there it was. All the presents now, they're unwrapped, probably not too many more left waiting for you under the tree. Christmas has come and gone. Now, as a child, toys were so cool when they first came out of the package. Do you remember that? When brand new in the package, you could hold them, the excitement that you had as you were getting them out all new and shiny. And it's even exciting when you're a big kid. It's just not doing it today, huh? Okay. Should we back up? Aha, we found it. Don't you love technology? Oh, it's great when it works. All right, now we got the presents unwrapped. And then you got those new gifts. I don't know what was new for you, what was your exciting thing that you got this last Christmas. But it's always fun when they're right there in the package. Brand new, right off the shelf. And as you get older, we got some big kids here too. Did you get anything exciting? Some big gifts that, I don't know, sometimes you get that brand new computer right there in the box. That's kind of exciting, all new and shiny. Or the first time that you held that brand new cell phone. Now we're talking to the teenagers for sure. I see their eyes light up a bit. Brand new cell phone there. Or maybe you can imagine sitting in that brand new car. No cookie crumbs anywhere, no wrappers, just brand new. It's a shame that all across our nation there are garbage pits that are full of what was once new. Yesterday's brand new right there for us today. What was once considered a treasure ends up someone's trash. So what do you think this morning? Do you like new things? Do you like something new? Do you like eating new foods? Some of you do. Going to new places. Is that an exciting thing? Does it give you a thrill to do something new? You get that sense of adventure. Or does something new coming your way give you that pit in your stomach like I had this morning? Does the idea of experiencing something new make you nervous? Are we simply pleased with the past and prefer not to do anything new? Are we content to just keep things the way they are? Well, this morning, let's look into God's Word, and maybe the Lord has something to tell us about the past and about something new. If you'd open your Bibles with me to our scripture reading for this morning, Isaiah 43 is where we're going to be looking. Isaiah is about halfway through your Bible. If you open up there, that's a great book to just get lost in. Isaiah 43 is right there, and it's got some wonderful things for us to learn today. So Isaiah 43, we're going to start in verse 16, and listen to what the prophet tells us today. Listen to what the Lord is speaking to you this morning. In verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished and are quenched like a wick. What's the prophet talking about there? What image comes to your mind? He's pointing them back, isn't he? Yeah, he's saying God's reminding his people of Moses' day. He says, look back to what great things that God has done. He has saved you from the past, taken you out of Egypt. God's people went through the experience of living in Egypt when the plagues fell. Can you imagine that? I mean, it just gives me chills to think about that. You're there living, and then neighbors down the way coming up with boils on them, houses getting full of frogs and lice, and the whole time the Israelites are kept safe. What a wild experience. Can you imagine living through that? And then it gets even better. God finally takes them out of Egypt, and they get to experience the Red Sea. Have you ever thought what it would be like walking through there, water on both sides? Would you have gone along and just stopped long enough to pick up a rock and throw it in just to see what would happen? Probably not. Because there they were with Pharaoh chasing them down. They're going through the sea. And they got to witness the greatest army that they knew. The greatest army that they knew was defeated, wiped out. God saved them. And that's what he shares with them here. The chariot and the horse, the army, will lie down. And then after this, they experience food for 40 years by a miracle. Every day they wake up and a miracle at their feet. They get water from rocks, protection from disease, all these things they went through. It's just amazing. But in the midst of all these miracles, what did people do? They still moaned and they groaned. They still complained in the midst of all of this. Well, God reminds his people in Isaiah. He says, I have done great things. Don't forget the past. And I think it's good for us to look back and to remember what God has done for us. We should do that from time to time. Tomorrow will be a new year for us by our calculating. So what has God done for you in 2011? I'd encourage you to think back tonight as you're having your festivities. Think back to the year that was. What was your best day of 2011? What were those best days when everything was just going right, when you were on top of the world? And if you can think of that day, was God with you that day? Did you remember him that day? And tonight, as you think about the year that ends and the year that's coming on, I want you to think about your worst day of 2011. Can you think of that one too? The day that you would just dread to live again. Can you remember the worst day of 2011? And as you think about that day, I hope that you will realize that God was still there too, even on the worst day. God was there for us both on the best and the worst of days. But now, as you think about that individually, I'd like to invite us to think back to the year that was for Piedmont Park. God tells his people, look back sometimes and remember what I've done. And many times as a church, we're just so focused on the next thing. Got that done. Now do the next one. Do the next one. Sometimes it's good for us to sit back and remember what God has done. And I certainly can't cover it all, what has taken place, but I just want to hit some highlights for you and remind you, this is God working. This is your faithfulness at work. I want to start with talking about our Pathfinder groups. They went off to do Bible Bowl, and they're studying again this year already, but last year they were studying the book of Revelation, committing it to memory. And we had, I think, three different teams with people from kids from Pathfinders from Piedmont that were on it, and all of them got first place. You say amen? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. And I am so proud of those kids and what they did this past year. Also this past year, we had the experience of doing a chili fundraiser for folks who weren't even members of our church. They called us up, said, can we do a fundraiser to raise money for some medical bills that we have to pay for? And I talked to the board because I was new here. I said, I don't know if we can. Let's see. I talked to the board and they said, why not? Let's go for it. We had that fundraiser, and from that experience of connecting to our community, it led to baptisms of Fred and Maria Nels, who are now excited to be a part of our family here at Piedmont, all from being willing to reach out and rub shoulders with others. I say pray this to the Lord on that one. And what about our young people? What about our eighth graders? I see some of them right in front of me. They're not eighth graders anymore. Now they're freshmen. But when they were eighth graders, they stood up to the challenge and said, we are going to preach. We are going to share the three angels' messages with others. And they did, and they stood up and they preached night after night, and they did everything, the special music, the greeting, the registration. And I am so proud that this is a church that's willing to say, young people, take the lead, and we will follow as you show us the Lord. And from that, baptisms took place, and lives were changed. The church worked very hard this year to stay connected, and we had socials throughout the year like gym night that took place. I could not believe how many people came to gym night. We had over 200, I think, that were there, and a fun time getting together. This past summer, we were blessed to be able to work out having a full-time student pastor here with us, and you can see Pastor Seth up there in the corner. And with working with the conference, we were able to employ him full-time in the summer, and he helps us out part-time during the school year. And he put together our VBS, our Vacation Bible School program, not only for our kids, but again, this was an opportunity for the community to come and to learn about Jesus. And the kids had a blast. It was a lot of fun going to the town of Nazareth, thinking about what it was like when Jesus was their age. We put together a three-year plan for our ministries, and we came up with 57 ministries in that, both current ones and new ones that we want to do. Some of the ones that we've started already were the Light Up the Dark, the Vespers, Live Nativity, a building committee, all things that have happened now because of you, because of your faithfulness to follow God. Now, folks, I have to be honest with you. Not everything about 2011 was fun. As a church, we had our rough days too. We had far too many funerals than I would like to think about. We've had to lay our loved ones to rest. And as a pastor, that's never an easy thing. But I am privileged to stand with you when you say goodbye. So we have had our tough times this year as well. We had to say goodbye to Pastor Dean and Raquel this past year. And that was very rough to say goodbye to someone who's been here and been a part of us. But I am pleased to tell you that his churches are loving having him there. And he's doing a wonderful job. The Lord is blessing greatly in this new opportunity for him. And saying goodbye many times leads to saying hello. And so we were able to get a new associate pastor. The search committee met. And sure enough, we were able to find Pastor Andy. And the Mosleys came here to Piedmont Park. And we're excited to have them here with us, a part of us. And I want to just pause for a moment here as we take a look at this picture, because all the gentlemen here at the church have looked at this picture and not noticed anything wrong with it. However, all the ladies who are here have looked at this picture, and I see their heads nodding already. They've noticed what's wrong with this picture. You see it yet, guys? All four gentlemen sitting on the couch, and there's poor mom sitting on the floor. Cheryl, what are we going to do with these guys? I'll have a talk with them later. Well. No, I think I was actually sitting on the floor that night too. This was a staff party, just getting together and having some fun. Here's a little better picture when we actually introduced them and brought them in. But we are very pleased to have Pastor Andy here with us and already getting involved, connecting with all of you and being a part of ministry. We're very, very happy to have them here with us. Other things that are going on at Piedmont, we have a wonderful choir that is doing amazing things, and I am so pleased whenever our choir stands up here and I get to hear their talents being put on for the Lord. We also have a bell choir that meets and has blessed us with music and then goes out into the community and shares the gospel message in song. Again, ideas that you guys came up with. I had folks come up to me and said, why don't we do Friday night Vespers? I said, why not? And so we started up Vespers this last year. Friday night, a great way to begin your Sabbath. We had teaching Vespers, music Vespers, testimony time. Wonderful way to come together again. This last year, we also started a benevolent committee, a group of people that would meet and would look at the needs of our church. Many times we get requests in of people who are needing a little help. And this committee worked, and they were able, because of the monies that we give on communion Sabbaths, the monies that we set aside part of our budget, we were able to give monetary grants of almost $2,300 to help people in need this last year. That's your faithfulness at work. That's changing people's lives and making a difference. This last year we did a couple family movie nights where people were able to drive by and see us showing a good movie to watch, and we were able to have fun doing that. The health ministries this last year put together a stop smoking clinic. That is one big cigarette up there that Janice is holding. I don't know if you can see that. But they were able to do this for the community and help people realize that you don't have to be trapped by things that addict us. God can give us freedom. Well, children remain a vital part of our ministry here. Can you say amen to that? This is something that has been in the DNA, in the lifeblood of Piedmont Park, is the children that we have here. Not just ministry for children, but including children in the ministry, even the little ones picking up the offering every week. Folks, that's huge. Getting the young people up here and involved in singing and speaking. This is a wonderful, wonderful testimony for this church, that we don't just have kids come and watch, but they get to participate. They get to be a part of leading out in our worship. I take great pride in our children's Sabbath schools that we have here, and the amount of work and dedication that the leaders put together every week to put together a program for our young kids. And it makes a difference. That's why so many people say, wow, we have to come here to Piedmont because of our kids and what they're learning in Sabbath schools. Another great thing that I take pride in is the fact, as we talked about earlier, our fellowship meals that take place every Sabbath, giving us a chance to get together and to talk, to share, giving us a chance to be together in this hectic, fast-paced world that we live in. We also started the Discovery Ministry, a ministry that is put together to help you find your gift, your passion for ministry, so that you can get involved in helping someone else know the Lord. And if you haven't found those gifts yet, if you haven't found that spot, talk to one of the pastors. Talk to one of the elders. We will help you find your place in ministry. Well, there's nothing all that exciting about a roof until it's not working and leaking. Then it gets awful exciting. And we were able to put on a new roof in our education wing. And so the leaks are gone, praise the Lord. And it's because of you and your faithfulness we were able to do that big a project and get it paid for. Also up there on the roof was Charlie. He does like roofs and likes to hang out up there. And if you didn't realize, we have an antenna up there of a radio station now. 1580 AM, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Three Angels messages. Anyone driving by can hear the gospel at any time. And we're getting ready to set one up down at the school down there. And we're going to hopefully cover the whole town of Lincoln eventually with these antennas. Things are going great, friends. The Lord blessed, and we have two new Sabbath schools that started this year. One that was studying the Great Controversy, one that was for new members. And we've got so many Sabbath school rooms, I don't know where to put the next one. Maybe up in the sound booth, I'm not sure. But it's a wonderful problem to have. Some of the facts about our church, Piedmont by the numbers, what do we have here? Well, our members, what they say, we're up to about 569 right now. Non-members, people who aren't members yet, this would be kids or people who are attending, 171. So you can add that up to see the people that are connected with us. Baptisms and rebaptisms, 9. Transfers in, 51. How about giving? How about tithe giving? Up about $100,000 this past year. Praise the Lord for your faithfulness. Now, I know some of these gifts were one-time gifts that really boosted up, but still, that's wonderful. Our giving for our budget, that's been about even. That's one thing that we would like to see that go up, because the more giving that we get to the budget, the more amazing ministries that we can do here. Our attendance, a little light today, but one day this last fall, we were able to pop up over 400 in attendance. And we're averaging about 350 now. God is doing some amazing things for us. Some of the things we did, the Light Up the Dark ministry on October 31, a day that's not normally a day that people come to church, was a day when about 500 people came to church and learned about Jesus. And I can say, praise the Lord for that and the fun that the kids had and all the work that you put together, putting that on, touching lives. Even people we don't know, strangers that came through and said, this was great that happened this year. And then our live nativity, that was kind of our latest one that we put together, where we had brave souls who stood out in the cold. I hope no one got sick from that. But we put together a live nativity outside. The people were able to come and drive through. We had over 130 cars that drove through. And they were able to hear the story of Jesus on our antenna, on our radio station, and heard about the birth of Jesus. Friends, God is blessed. Amen. God has been moving in us, changing us, and using us to reach out to others. So my question for you is, do you think he's done? Mm-mm. Is the Lord done changing us into his image? No way. Is the Lord done using us to make a difference in Lincoln, Nebraska? No, he is not. So, my question for you is, what is the Lord going to do in 2012? Let's have a look and see. If you got your Bible open there still to Isaiah 43, look at what God says now. He reminded them of what he did when he brought them out of Egypt. But now in verse 18, right after alluding back to the Red Sea and that salvation piece, in verse 18 he says, do not remember the former things. Wow. He just got done reminding them. And he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do something new. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, I'm going to do something new. He reminds them of what he did in the past in verses 16 and 17. And then all of a sudden, he just stops it short and says, now stop. I reminded you, that's enough. Don't focus on the past. Take a glance back. Remember what I did, but don't get fixated on that, on what I've done. Our former General Conference president put it this way in his book, Where Are We Going? On page 34, he said, it's impossible to walk backwards into the future with eyes fixed on how things used to be. I thought, that's right. God says in Isaiah, don't focus so much on the past that you miss what God is about to do. That's what he's telling us here, friends. So what is this something new that God was going to do for them as Isaiah is writing? Well, sadly, in the time of Isaiah, in their future, immediate future, was to be defeated. To be defeated by the country of Babylon, taken into captivity by a rival nation. God predicted it in the book of Isaiah, but he also predicted that he was going to do something new. If you look with me at verse 2 of chapter 43, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. God was letting them know that tough times were coming, but I will be with you. And this prediction here is fulfilled in the book of Daniel. Many of us know that story of Daniel. Daniel's friends, the three boys, walked through the fire and were not touched. Verses 5 and 6. It was Isaiah 43. God says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And I will say to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. God said, you are. You're going to go into captivity. You're going to go through rough times, but I will be there with you and I will bring you back. I brought you from a rival nation before and I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do something new. Now, folks, I got to tell you that when they went into captivity, the thought of coming back looked impossible. This is an artist's depiction of what Babylon may have looked like. But the one thing that he got right is on the outside of the city, they didn't have just one wall protecting them. They had two walls. That makes it really tough if you're trying to besiege them and defeat them. And those walls were so thick that you could ride a chariot on the top of it. How is anyone going to take down Babylon? Not only did they have the walls, but they had a river that went through town, so they got plenty of water. They had enough food inside the city to last the city and all its inhabitants for 7 years. And an army was inside the city. So if any army came and besieged them, they just looked at them and said, oh, when you get tired and hot and hungry, go home. And we'll be fine in here. How would literal Babylon ever fall? And yet, a dream about a statue said, one day, this is going to fall. And God said, one day, my people are going to go home. It will happen. Not with the crossing of a Red Sea, but with the fall of an empire. And in the book of Isaiah, God even named the one who would make Babylon fall, Cyrus from Persia. What else does God say that he was going to do new here in Isaiah 43? If you look at verse 11, you find it alluded to. God says, I, even I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no what? No Savior. God says, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to send the Messiah. Now that's certainly something new. Amen? And Isaiah 53 is the wonderful, wonderful prophecy in the Old Testament about the suffering servant, the one who would come, God becoming man. This time, God wasn't just going to raise up a judge to help him. He wasn't just going to raise up a prophet to preach to him. He wasn't just going to raise up a king. No. Rather, God was going to do something new. He was going to send the Messiah, the true judge, the true prophet, and the true king. He was going to send to them. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, God says, I will pour water onto him who is thirsty and floods on the ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. God said to them, not only am I going to send the Messiah, not only am I going to take you from Babylon, but I am going to come up with a new way for you and I to communicate. I am going to send my Holy Spirit onto you. And in fact, that's what God did, and we see it in the book of Acts. So, he did it then. What is God going to do new in 2012? What are we going to do that's new? Well, coming up this spring, we're going to have a seminar called Heavens Declare. And it's a seminar where we're going to have a speaker come in, and he's going to talk about the heavens, the stars. We're going to see the gospel message in the stars. And we're going to see God's handiwork even in outer space. That's coming this spring. I'm also going to start working on a thing called Journey to the Cross, an outreach event that we're going to do to celebrate the resurrection every spring. Building committee, they're working on trying to figure out the challenges and the opportunities we have in fitting in this place. And we do have our challenges. We do have our opportunities. And we're going to see how the Lord leads us in that for expansion. In our 3-year plan, more ministries are going to start. The Shepherd Ministry, you're going to hear about that, a ministry to help us stay connected. A reconnecting ministry, a chance to reach out to those who are no longer here who once were. I tell you what, nothing will make a pastor sadder than looking back through a directory and seeing faces that once sat where you sit. So we have to reach out to them, amen? We have to be the one that sticks our arm out, even though we may get it slapped away. We'll just keep reaching out until we reconnect with them. And we will continue dreaming with God. The Lord tells us today, take a glance back, but now look forward. I'm going to do something new. My friends, at the very end of time, God is again going to do something new. A little irony here, because the new at the end of time is just going to be the new in Isaiah's day, delivering God's people. The new at the end of time will be God working in our lives. It'll happen in new ways, even in ways that we are not expecting. Can you say amen? We don't have it all mapped out yet. It will happen in new ways. What's God going to do at the end? Well, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. This time the latter rain will come down. The Holy Spirit will fall. When's it going to happen, Pastor? God knows. How's it going to happen, Pastor? God knows. What will happen after it? Now that God tells us. Turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 18, our last text for today. when that Holy Spirit gets poured out, God tells us that the gospel and the three angels' messages will be preached with power like never before. Can you say amen? And you know who's going to preach it? The people. Only two amens on that one. At that time, all the pastors will probably be in prison. And it will be the people who will preach. And what's it going to be like? Revelation 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. This message will illuminate the entire globe. It won't be just a little bit here and a little bit there. It will be front page news all over the planet. God's going to do something new. And in verse 2, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest ye share in her sins and lest ye receive of her plagues. God's people are going to be called out of spiritual Babylon. God is going to do something new. And it might look impossible. Just like it looked impossible in Daniel's day for God's people to ever be released from literal Babylon, it will look impossible for God's people to ever be released from spiritual Babylon. But I tell you this day, friends, that the dream and the vision of the future is as sure today as it was in Daniel's day. Amen? The Father will send the Messiah again. And something new. Because this time when Jesus comes, it will not be as a baby, but he will come as king. And we might wonder. We might look around and say, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. And that's just the way it looked in the first century when they said the Messiah is just not coming. But the vision of the future is just as sure today as the vision and the prophecy in Isaiah's day. Amen? God has not changed. Will we have challenges this year? Without a doubt. The more we set our minds on doing the Lord's will, the angrier the devil is going to get. He will try to divide us. He will try to delude the truth. He will try to distract us from our true purpose. But as much as Satan is going to be working in 2012, our God is going to be working all the more. So what is God going to do in 2012? Well, my friends, I'm a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a seer. But there are some things I do know that he's going to do. Number one, he's going to be with us. He's going to be with us on the good days and the bad days. Number two, he's going to work in our lives. And he will help us live victorious lives for him and for his glory. Number three, as we reach out to our friends, our family, as we reach out to strangers, as we reach out to ex-church members, Jesus will be with us as we are about the business of making disciples because he promised to be with us. And I know from God's word that sometimes God does something new. Maybe something that I'm not even expecting. The key here, individually and as a church, is if God does something new, will we follow? When Israel was traveling through the wilderness, they had a pillar of fire and light to guide them. And if it got up and moved, what did they do? They got up and moved. If it got up and moved and they said, you know what? We like it here. This is nice. We'll just stay. Think they'd be in trouble? We have to follow God's light wherever it takes us. We can't get too comfortable, friends. Because we are just pilgrims a-passing through, amen? We must be ready to follow his light. When the decree came from the Persian king that Israel could go home, they had to be ready in order to get back to the promised land. And when the King comes again, when the King of the universe comes, by God's grace, we too must be ready to go home in order to get to the true promised land. I'm not sure what 2012 will bring for me, or for you, or for the Piedmont Park Church. I know there'll be storms along the way, and I know there'll be one to guide us. But I do know that when the Lord calls, we are going to be ready. Amen? I do know that wherever the Lord leads, we will follow. Amen? And I know that whatever the Lord asks, by His power and by His grace, we will do. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, Your ways are not our ways. You are far and above more than we could ever understand, but You have given us Your word, Your truth, to remind us of what You have done, that we can have confidence in the future. And as we look to what You're going to do, Lord, help us to just follow Your lead. Help us, Lord, to be who You want us to be, that we can be ready to go home when You come, and that we can help others to know You too. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory and all the praise, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.